Matthew chapter 6, verse 1.
Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
When you say giving alms can be a charitable thing, or giving to poor, and we see most of the time, everywhere, when the people, rich people give to somebody, you might have seen they make a big check, like maybe 2 feet by 3 feet, big check, and they will say, this is the check from somebody. So they want to take some name and fame, and that's why they are doing big check, they write, and giving them some kind of respect. Some of the Christian people doing too. If you are listening to some telethon, if somebody gives a big amount of money, they say, let's have a drum roll. They will announce that person's money, 10,000, 15,000, 5,000. But somebody gives you $5 or $2, they don't announce. And so people are taking the tradition of other people. I don't know here, but in India, when there is a wedding, there will be two parties, bridegroom's party and bride's party. And people will be bringing gifts to give it to the bride, give it to the bridegroom. So they actually do some kind of trumpet sound or some kind of drum roll, and then tell the people, wait, everybody listen, this person gave this much, this person gave this much, and they keep on announcing and to the people. And so the Word of God is saying, if you do that way in the church or the street or any occasions, if you're giving just to people to see it, then you already got your reward on earth. And God is not going to give you reward. Giving something to somebody, you should have a love. People give money to Africa and some other countries, poor countries, and we think those people really love them. But they are not giving by love, they're just giving by name. The born-again people, they're giving from their heart. This verse we are talking about, not about born-again Christian. Let's read the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 8 and 9.
Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
Here is saying, when you're doing something, giving in charity or helping somebody, do it with a love, not with a getting reward, or somebody has to say something good about you, and that's the time somebody gives. Sometimes people give because if he gave $10, I'm going to give 20. If he give 100, I'll give 200. And so the people just want name and fame. That's the only way they're giving to charities. And the Word of God says they already got their reward. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 3.
But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
So here he's saying, even though you are giving, you give with the right hand, let not left hand know. You giving, your left hand will be knowing it. That's how it is. Just think you have a wallet. You take the money from the wallet and you're counting with both hands. Let the other people see. If you want to give something before the offering comes, you should have decided how much you're giving and put it in an envelope or take it from your pocket and put it. When both hands are working, somebody's watching, so he said, let not your left hand also know. He says our God stays in secret place. You cannot see him, but he watches over you. And he says when you give secretly, that means nobody sees, your second hand doesn't see, and you give it to the Lord, he says God has already seen, and he will give you the gift or whatever you need openly. That means other people will come to know what God has done. I always say it's not recorded in the Bible, but I feel in my spirit. Jesus Christ was watching who is giving money. And he saw one widow putting two mites. And he said to his disciple, she gave more than anybody else. The disciple starts saying, how come you say this? These people are giving thousands of dollars here, and that lady gave only two mites. But the Jesus Christ says, she gave all her, means this is what she had, this is what her bank balance was, and this is what she had in her house. How Jesus came to know? He didn't ask the lady. He didn't ask, did you give all? But he knew from her heart. He said she gave everything what she had. Other people are giving maybe 5%, 2%, 10%, but she gave 100%. And so there is a story in the Bible. Jesus Christ came to one village. He came to the village at the gate, and they were just taking the dead body, and the widow was crying. And so I was just thinking, why Jesus Christ went to that village and that gate nobody invited, and here the widow is crying and her son is dead. So I thought to myself, if the God says you give secretly, I'll give you reward openly. So she put two mites, not even anybody should see it, but Jesus saw it. And when her son died, she might have said, Lord, I have nobody. My son is dying. Maybe I give it to the Lord. Maybe my son will live or whatever. And son died. So when Jesus Christ comes, raise the son, give it back to her. That's the way God does. Jesus saw she gave all. And then her son died. Jesus comes to that town, that gate, before they can take him to the burial ground. He stopped them and gave her son back. So the word of God is saying, when you give it to somebody who cannot pay it back to you, that means that you're giving to God. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 14, and start reading from verse 12 to 14.
Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
Here it is saying, if you want to give it to somebody, or if you want to invite somebody to your house for dinner, don't invite your friends, rich neighbors, or your co-workers and things like that. Call the blind people, call the lame, call the people who never ate that kind of food, and give them, and so they will be satisfied, they will bless you, and God will bless you, because they cannot invite you back. And those the kind of people you should invite. When I was in India, I would go and find somebody on the street and bring them to church and give them food and things like that. God is in secret. He's watching you, and he will give you reward openly. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 5.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and to thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Father who lives in secret place, He will reward you openly. Here the word of God is saying, you are not impressing other people, you are praying to God. When you go into prayer, he's giving the example of people praying in synagogue or church, or some people pray on the street. Somebody says, I never saw people praying on the street, but you saw Muslim people. When the time comes, they put their shawl or whatever they have, or rug, and they pray in the airport, they pray in the hospital, they pray on the street. The word of God says, you got your already reward. When you praying, he said, go to the prayer closet and close the door, and you pray secretly, and then God will bless you or answer you openly. Okay, Matthew 6:7.
But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
Who are these people doing repetition? Do you know? There are Hindu people. They have chanting. They have some kind of beads, rosary kind of beads. They say then God's name that time. And they repeat that thousands of times. If you repeat that name 10,000 times, you might get blessed or this and that. So they are doing it. And then the Muslim people have rosary also. But from this, we know they are doing some kind of repetition. Catholic people are doing it. But he says they are doing repetition, using the same word thousands of times, thinking that God will hear their prayer. If person is in a jungle, tiger or lion or vicious animal comes to them, they are not going to get the rosary and start saying something. Prayer will come from their heart. And that's the way the word of God is saying, the prayer should come from our heart. And you should be praying alone. Doesn't mean that we should not be praying in together, but every person should have personal relationship with God. They have to take some time alone with God. Many people do not have that kind of time. Now, 1 hour prayer somebody does, that will be great. But if they cannot do 1 hour, do 15 minutes. Do 5 minutes. Do 1 minute. But stay with the Lord that period of time without doing any other thing. And that's what he says. Go to your closet, means go to your room and close the door behind you. You remember Elisha, when the lady's child was dead, the word of God says he went to the room and closed the door, prayed with that child, and God heard his prayer. The Lord is trying to say, when we praying secretly, we are not showing somebody how much you love the Lord or how much you know how to pray. He says God has to see your heart and your heart's desires, then God will answer your prayer. Matthew 6:8.
Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
You should not be like them. Like them means what? The people who make big, big prayers and long prayers, people to see it. He said, you should not be doing all of these things. And if you love the Lord, you will be concentrating what I'm going to pray and what I'm going to say. Here he says, before you pray, your Heavenly Father knows what is your needs are. So why are we praying? Some time comes that you want to pray something, but you cannot pray. You know what? When you are very, very exhausted, or some tragedy happened in your house, somebody died or somebody got sick or something, and your mind is bombarded. Words will not come out of your mouth, but you want to pray. What you're doing, you're crying. You're crying, or you saying some words doesn't make any meaning. Only God knows what you're praying, but the person who is standing in front of you will not know it. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Your heart is broken. You don't know how to pray. You don't feel like praying. Do you know sometimes people have a lot of pain? And so much pain, and somebody said, why don't you pray? They cannot pray. They cannot read the Bible. Even though they want to read, they want to pray, they cannot pray. At that particular time, if you are a child of God, God knows your heart. And he says, God knows what you need. Verse 27.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
You are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the words are not coming out of your mouth, but you want to talk to God. Start speaking in tongue and praising God and glorifying God. God knows what you want, and he knows the desires of your heart. That's why it is very important somebody to fill with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongue. God understands the tongue. Devil doesn't understand. The person standing beside you, he doesn't understand. Only you know and God knows what you're praying. Go to the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18.
Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
See, here he's saying, when you're praying in the Spirit. Now just think, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, and they are surrounded you, and you want to pray for them, and sometimes you take their name, why are you praying for me? But if you are in the Spirit and you speaking in tongue and praising God and you saying in your spirit, Lord, I'm praying for my husband, I'm praying for my daughter, I'm praying for my son. They don't know you're praying for them. God knows. So you can pray in the Spirit and you have those thoughts before you sit for prayer, and God will know what you're praying, because the Word of God says, Spirit of God knows what you're praying. That's why he says, whatever you want to pray, before you pray, God in heaven knows what you're praying, and he knows your heart. But that doesn't mean all the time you keep on speaking in tongue and never pray in the regular language. You have to pray in the regular language. You have to pray in the tongue. Both way is blessed. Okay, go back to the book of Matthew. Chapter 6, start from verse 9.
After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Disciples asked Jesus how to pray, so he gave the model prayer. First he says, when you pray to the Father. Our Father lives in heaven. He lives in secret place. So he lives in a holy place, and you praying to your Father, this is the way you pray. And so Jesus Christ, the first one to teaching his disciples, there is a Father in heaven. I am his son. He sent the Son to this world. And then he said, I'll go and send the Holy Spirit. So Trinity, Jesus Christ is the first one to explaining to his disciples. He is saying to his disciples, Our Father is in heaven and he is holy, so his name is holy. Verse 10.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Now these people, his disciples and Israeli people, they were not free. They were under the Roman government. So they were always thinking that somebody will come and set us free and give our kingdom back. So many people thought Jesus Christ will be the one who will deliver them from these people and give them the kingdom. But here he's in the beginning, he starts saying, we want God's kingdom coming to this earth. That means our God is holy and we want to live like God. And we want to do the will of God on this earth. And so Jesus Christ was saying, whatever is in heaven, we want to live like heavenly people on earth. These people didn't understand at that particular time, But once we are born again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, we are lifted up in heavenly places and we are sitting at the right hand of Jesus Christ. How it happened? Because once we are born again, the kingdom of God opens for us. We became the citizen of heaven. Please read.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
We are already citizens of heaven. How it happened? Jesus Christ washed us, cleansed us with his precious blood. Now we are holy people. In spirit, we are sitting in heavenly places. Right now, even we are on this earth. So Jesus Christ is giving a teaching to these disciples. At that time, it might have gone over their head, didn't understand anything, did the prayer like a parrot. Jesus Christ told them, they are doing it, but they didn't understand at that particular time what Jesus Christ was saying. Verse 11, Matthew 6, 11.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Now, this is what Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples. When you go, don't carry food with you. Don't carry bag with you. God will provide. And then they had the example before them. God did not tell Moses, when we live in Egypt, let's take some grain, take some food, because we are going for journey. We don't know how many years of journey. If they wanted, they would have taken truckload of food coming from there, because they had the, animals and everything if they wanted. Because they got thousands and thousands of tons of silver and gold, but no food. And so God provided them when they were on the road. And so here God was teaching the children of Israel, as well as now Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples, we should not be storing food for years. There are some people keep the food for a long period of time. And now also there are some people storing the food and going in the mountain, and they're thinking maybe Antichrist will come, so we will stay in the cave, and they are storing the food. I believe my God is all-sufficient God. He will provide me food for daily food. I don't have to get crazy and worry about 10 years water or 10 years food. Because here's the word of God says, he taught us, give us this day our daily bread. Means this day you give, tomorrow comes, tomorrow you give. And so the word of God is saying, one day at a time. Verse 12.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
As we forgive our debtors. That means if you do not forgive others, you're not going to get forgiven. That's what he is teaching. If you want to have forgiveness, then you forgive others. Verse 13.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now here he says, lead us not into temptation. But the temptation is like a trial. You go through the fiery trial. So he said, please do not let us go through the fiery trials. But he said, but deliver us from evil. And if you read in a New King James, he says, deliver us from evil one. That's the devil. Devil is the one brings all kinds of trials to us. He is the one gives all kinds of problems. So we should be praying. We don't want to go into devil's hand. We don't want devil to tempting us, because devil is coming as an antichrist. So we do not want to be there when the antichrist comes. That should be our prayer. Lord, we don't want to be here when the antichrist comes, because the evil one is going to have his kingdom on this earth before he comes. We don't want to be here. So deliver us, or keep us safe from the evil one's hand. That's the devil. Verse 13, please read one more time.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So what he's trying to say, we don't want to stay in the devil's kingdom. We don't want to stay with him. So we want to be in the kingdom of God. teaching the disciples, you have to learn our God is a powerful God. He is greater than the devil. What's wrong if you take the 66 number? We will have food. Devil will not kill us. And then, Lord, I'm sorry. I made a mistake because I was so weak to not to refuse the devil. Because there are some other people are teaching. He says, we will never be perfect. We will always have sin. God knows our weaknesses. And so we will be always doing something wrong. And they will be teaching you. They says, God is always forgives you and he loves you unconditionally. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whom? Whosoever believeth in him. That person will not be perished. God so loved the world to die on the cross of Calvary. So all people automatically will be saved. He didn't say. That's not unconditional love. There's a condition. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be forgiven, then you believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And so people are giving this false idea. There is a scripture, we were yet sinner, Jesus Christ died for us. That means what he's trying to say, Jesus died for sinners. Now he already died for you, but you have to receive him. He died for the whole world. So everyone, if they come to Christ and say, Lord, I believe that you died for me, and so I receive your forgiveness, then they will be forgiven. Automatically, nobody is going to get forgiven. Because if you read in St. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 and 18, if you read, it says, if you deny Christ, if you don't believe, he's already condemned. Read from 16 to 18.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
When somebody reads, God sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary, so he did not send Jesus to condemn me, so I'm already saved. I don't have to do anything because he sent his Son. He's not going to condemn me. And that's the kind of false idea people get. Read the verse 18.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
See, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is already condemned. Jesus Christ came into this world. We were sinners. He died for us, but automatically salvation doesn't come. Even they say salvation is free gift, but we have to receive that gift by faith. He said if you deny him, if you don't believe him, you are already condemned because you do not believe the Jesus Christ who is the Son of God. God is saying, I sacrifice my Son for you, and if you do not want to believe him, then I'm not going to take you to heaven. Simple as that. All other religious people are saying, why should we go through Christian church or Christian belief? God is not that cruel that he will send us to hell. God is saying, I love you. But I love you through my Son. I gave my Son for you. And if you don't believe him, you're condemned. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way. I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father. So he is teaching us, kingdom is belong to God, all power is belong to God, all glory is belong to God. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
First he says, we forgive others, so you forgive us. And now he says, if you don't forgive other people who did something wrong to you, then Father is not going to forgive you. First of all, he is teaching, if you want to get forgiveness from God, then you start forgiving others. And people said, oh, I'm not going to forgive that person. You don't know what he did to me. Christ forgave his enemy, right? And so he has given us an example that you should forgive. God is not looking how many times you go to church, how much tithe you give. He's not counting that. He's saying, if our God is love, and if he loved me, and if he has forgiven me, then I should be forgiving others. That is the God's desire.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
The Lord is saying, I am looking at your heart. Do you know, Samuel told the Saul, you wait until I come and don't do the sacrifice. But he did it anyhow. Another time God says, destroy all these animals and everything. And he didn't do it. And so Samuel comes and he says, why are you doing it? He says, I do it to please God. So what Samuel says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Go to the 1 Samuel. Chapter 15, verse 22 and 23.
And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
See what he's trying to say? If you disobey, that is like a sin of witchcraft, rebellion. That means disobeying is rebellion. When you disobey God, or you don't listen to them, or your parents, or higher authority, or anybody. So he says, when you do that, that is the sin of witchcraft. And so the word of God says, God wants obedience, not the sacrifice. People sometimes give somebody big gift to their boss or somebody, and when they walk away, they say, hey, this person should be killed, or this person should be dead. And they give the gift to just to please them, but their heart, they are saying bad things. God knows you, everything, what is in your heart. So he says, when you come to me, I want your pure heart, not the gift. Okay, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Start reading from verse 16.
Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
We saw about giving, we saw about praying, now he is saying about fasting. There are people, different religious people, Hindu people fast, Muslim people fast. Now I don't know, you never saw Hindu people fasting. But the Hindu people's fasting like this. They don't eat food, but they eat peanuts, coconut, all the nuts and everything they eat. They don't eat the regular food. And so they eat so much on the fasting day and say, we are fasting. Muslim people different. They fast whole day and eat whole night. And so actually what they do, they sleep on daytime and get up in the evenings when the sun set and they start eating. And so there is no fasting. And not only that, when sometimes if somebody has no habit of fasting, 3 hours or 4 hours you didn't eat, they get headache, they get panic, and instead of praying and reading the Bible, they start fighting. And so the Word of God says, this is not the right kind of fast. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, and start reading from verse 3 to 9.
Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy re-reward.
See, if you do the right kind of fasting, means fasting with a humble heart, giving to the poor and needy, and don't try to show that you are fasting to show up somebody, and so you will not have your reward. But here he says, if you fast the right way, you can get healed. Verse 9.
Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity.
When you really fast according to my will, I will heal you. And when you pray, I will answer you. So our God is a prayer answering God. He wants to heal us. He wants to keep us healthy. So if you praying or fasting, do it according to the will of God. But if you're fasting for the name's sake, I fast every week or I fast every day or whatever, then this kind of fast will be, and God will be not pleased, but instead of getting better, things will be worse. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
He says, do not keep the money for you on this earth, or the treasure on this earth. Actually, he is talking to his disciples, and he is trying to say, you know, when he called the disciples, he said, forsake all and follow me. So they forsook everything and follow Christ. He said, I will give you whatever you need. The word of God says, my God will supply all your needs. So they gave up everything and followed the Christ. Money is good, but the love of money is bad. God is not saying we should not be rich. The word of God says Jesus Christ became poor for you. With his poverty, you can be rich. So we should be spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, financially, every way we can be rich. But the rich means not selfish rich. If you are selfish rich like that rich man, then we are fools. The word of God says, the money has wings. Let's read the Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5.
Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven.
The money has the wings. Money flies away. So when we have the money, we use the money wisely. The word of God says, this money you have, if you use this money to helping others, you will bring them to the kingdom of God. That's why the Christian people help other people with their finances, so those people can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Money God has given to us to win souls, do the Lord's work, not to just keep it for ourselves. And he says, if you try to keep it, it'll go away. How many people get disaster? So that's what the word of God says. We read in last Sunday in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10, that you should not be going after money. we go after God. Let's read verse 20.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Where our money is, our treasure is, there our heart will be. Means our money is belong to God. And God is the source of our supply. When we have need, He supplies our need on time. Verse 22.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Our body has a light, and that's your eyes. He says, if your eyes is holy, your whole body is holy. But if your eyes is evil, then your whole body has a darkness. And he says, that darkness, how great darkness that would be. So somebody says, how great the darkness is. Darkness is darkness. If God puts you in the hell, now somebody says hell might be there is a light, but the hell is all one kind of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, the black fire or black smoke than the real fire. So in heaven, we have light. We don't need a sun or moon, but the hell, even though he says hell fire, but that fire is unquenchable and is a dark fire or a kingdom of darkness. And so that's why he says, if that darkness will be, how great will be the darkness? The kingdom of darkness. That means hellfire. How great that hellfire will be. But thank God, God has delivered us from what? The kingdom of darkness. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. We are delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and we have come in the kingdom of light, that is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read verse 24. We're going to finish this soon.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Now, this is very true. The people love the money, they don't love God. And so the people, they love the money so much, they don't want to give it to God, and so their money becomes their God. And so he says, you cannot serve the God and the money same time. But if I'm serving the Lord, if the money comes to me, then I'm not after money, I'm after God, because I do not love the money, I love the Lord. Okay, let's read from verse 25.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of ye by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Why you worry about food, your clothes? Don't worry about these things. You have no way to take care of your own self, so why you worried? And he gives the example of the birds and the flowers. Birds, they don't have any storage, but God gives them food every day. They are not thinking where I'm going to go and where I'm going to get the food. He says the flowers, they don't spin and make cloth. They don't do any kind of hard work. But God gives them beautiful colors. She said even the Solomon was king and he did not have that luxury to have those kind of beautiful things. So God gives to flower and the grass the beauty. Today they are there, tomorrow they thrown in the oven. So he said, how much more our Heavenly Father will give it to us? Last Sunday we learned that our life is more than any birds or any animals, because God loves us more than anybody else. Our value is more than the whole world. So God is saying, why you worry for tomorrow? Tomorrow will take care of tomorrow. So he says, who are worrying these things? He said, the Gentiles or the people who are heathen, they don't have God, they worried. That's what Jesus Christ taught to his disciples. Pray that you will get your daily bread. Don't worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. And then he says, you have a little faith. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, if you read, he says, have faith in God. And then he says after that, you can move the mountains, you can do so many great things if you have the faith in God. Book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus lived on this earth 33 and a half years. He was never worried about anything. Okay, go to the Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 and 34.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things. God knows what you need. So when we start doing the Lord's work, when we start seeking the kingdom of God, God will supply our needs. And he says, why you worry for tomorrow? If you have trouble for today, don't take another day's trouble for today. Already you have problem this, the evil is bringing, the devil is bringing the problem. So that problem is sufficient for today. Why are you bringing another day's problem today and worrying for the double portion of time? So what the word of God is saying, take one day at a time. How are you going to eat the elephant? How you can eat the elephant? One bite at a time. And that's the way to do it. And the word of God says, don't worry for tomorrow. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. We are not going to worry for tomorrow. The enemy comes and bring these thoughts, bring the fear of tomorrow. But your word says, the Gentiles, the heathen, they worry for tomorrow. They worry for their food. They worry for their clothes. They worry for their daily needs. But your word says, our God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you have given us the many, many, many promises. So we are going to live by faith. We are not going to walk by sight, but we are going to walk by faith. And your word says, have faith in God. Once we have faith in God, there is nothing impossible with God, because we trust in him. And so, Lord Jesus, give us that simple faith to follow the Christ. And so we will never go wrong. Give us grace to live a Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.